Look for a few minutes into God's Word. While you're turning there, I really had a burden about two subjects to preach about. I thought, well, that only happens to Brother Clark. I've been with him in conferences, and he's wrestled around and said, I can't get settled. We've had him in a meeting, and he's just about ready to go to church, and he said, I can't get settled. And I've had this problem all week, and told Brother Jones about it, and he prayed with us and prayed for us, which I appreciate. And I really have got like a twofold burden on my heart this afternoon. And one, beloved, is our homes. There are a lot of dangers facing our homes today. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing God gave me a love for. He gave me a love for His Son, Jesus Christ, and that's by His grace, brother. But He also gave me a love for my home, as Brother Clark said today, and one of the other brethren said, Brother Duval, I believe it was. And if we're going to have happiness in our homes, in our households, the only way we can have it is God's way. And young person, you may not, I can't even see that far. Wait a minute. Is there any young people here this afternoon? Yes, there are. Yes, you are. And I'm not trying to be humorous or funny, but I'll tell you what, it's got close to home. If you get tired, and that's all right, get sleepy, and if you doze off, that'll be all right too. But if I could get one thing this afternoon across to the young people, and I wish there were all the young people in this area were here, it's this, and I'm not trying to be smart, don't date or marry a lost person. Amen. Believe me, don't do it. It'll break your heart, you'll be miserable, and you're not going to get over it. Now, I know where I'm coming from, and I know what I'm talking about. My wife is saved, okay? And God saved me by His grace 30 years ago this year. And I'm thankful that I came up under a man of God who had the courage of his conviction and said, I don't marry a lost person to a saved person. That very afternoon, after having been in Grace Baptist Church for several weeks, that afternoon, he led me to Jesus Christ. And I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that experience in that meeting place with the one who died for me. But I'll tell you what, don't date lost people. We just had a meeting just the other day. And a young mother talked with our evangelist after the service and with myself for a few minutes. And her statement was, why didn't I listen? And that young mother was my daughter. You know, when a preacher preaches against sin, he's not being hateful. Your pastor preaches against sin, he's not being hard. He just cares for you. Because sin brings misery, and sin brings heartache, and sin brings sorrow. I think God made a mistake when He said abstain from the very appearance of evil. God doesn't make mistakes. We do, but God doesn't. So we need to recognize this, and I'll tell you what, I'm thankful. And I wouldn't want a pastor that didn't love me enough to, or a parent didn't love his children enough to warn them not to play with fire. And you play with sin, you're playing with fire. And yes, right, you'll get burned. And there's a lot of ways you can get burned. It seems innocent at the start, and yet before you're done, you've let down your guard. I say this, and I want to get into my text. This be sermon number one. And that's simply this. What has happened in my lifetime, our lifetimes, is that we have been so bombarded by Satan with his little subtleties, it isn't long before we've let down some of the convictions we used to have. Amen. And we really have. And the things we used to cry out against, to stand up for, and have the courage of our convictions to preach against, we're not doing as much as we used to. I'm not going to get into the subjects because I'm going to get away from this. And before I know it, I won't have any more time up here. But I'm really burdened about this. And listen to me. If there's church members here today, again, if I put my glasses on, I'd see better. But your pastor knows when you're backsliding. The first indication that you give when you backslide is you quit coming to church regularly. And he doesn't have to be a magician. He doesn't have to be a mastermind. He doesn't have to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. He knows you're getting backslidden because you quit coming to church. And if we love our families, if we really care for these children that God has entrusted to our care, is we'll do what God said. We'll bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can do that, and when they get off on their own, they'll go another way, and it'll break your heart. But you've done what God would have you to do. And when you've done all the stand, stand. All right. I've had to say this. And parents, for God's sake, don't get too busy to have time for your children and time to bring them to church and Sunday school. Conferences are wonderful. Revival meetings are wonderful. But what are you going to do this Sunday, next Wednesday, or Thursday, whenever you have a prayer meeting? We're going to do it next Sunday. Let me say this one. I'm going to be all over this place. I didn't want to do that. But these things are what we're dealing with and what's bothering me. Well, I'm not hateful. I'm just burdened. I'm concerned. My heart is breaking over these things. Forget McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. These kids are getting jobs today, and they want them. The first thing they tell them is they got to work on Sunday. They don't need that job if they got to work on the Lord's Day. Amen. Let's remember that. Amen. And let us parents recognize that. God help us. Amen. We're fighting for what's right. Amen. All right, that's the first one. Now let me have a few minutes of your time for the second one. Let's look in Acts 28. Beginning in verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. You know what he was? A sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
That's all he was. God wasn't finished with him yet. He had some more witnessing and preaching and testifying to do, so therefore he lived. Now they changed their minds about Paul here, beloved. But I want to speak to us this afternoon on the reverse of this, some things I've not changed my mind about. And what has blessed my heart in this conference is I thank God that you brethren haven't changed your minds either, or that God hasn't changed the convictions that you've had. I better than mine, the convictions you have in your hearts. That's important, you see, because Brother Hancock said yesterday about change, and I thought, Brother, you got all over it yesterday, and I couldn't get away from this thought, though. So I had to come back to it this afternoon. But we do live in a changing world. You know, customs change, cultures change, and I'm sorry to say this, church members change. Preachers change. Their convictions change. Change and their faithfulness changes. But we ought not to change as far as our convictions for the truth of God's Word unless something we've heard before is not true, and being exposed to the truth, that truth finds its place in our hearts, and we have the courage then to admit that maybe we were wrong and come to a place where we'll take a stand for the truth of God's Word. We just had a family visiting our church up there And by the grace of God, we're not going to change about some things. And that's why I want to preach about this afternoon. But this family visited, and one Sunday evening after the service, they wanted to talk to me. And we went over into the annex, and we started talking. He wanted to see what our annex looked like. And he said to us, he says, do you have a junior church here? And I said, no, sir, we don't. And we're not going to have one. He said, do you have a Awanas here? And I said, no, sir, we don't. And we don't intend to have a Awanas here. Amen. He said, can you come to our house and talk to us? I said, the Lord willing, we will. So we went out there on a Tuesday night, and we were invited into his house. And the first thing he said to me when we sat down after the pleasantries were exchanged, he said, do you believe in a... He said it this way. He said, you're not one of those Baptist briders, are you? And I said, yes, sir, I am. And I said, let me show you why we are. And we talked for a while, about 45 minutes, and yes, I am a Baptist brider. And that's something I haven't changed my heart or my mind about. And I hope and pray to God that I never will. And I believe that what we believe about the bride of Christ being a Baptist bride is a biblical truth, and we ought not to compromise with this truth. And so, friend, today I've not changed my mind about it. And he went further, and he said, you're not one of those that believe in wine for the Lord's Supper, do you? Or are you? And I said, yes, sir, I am, and let me show you why. You know, and I said, that's my conviction, and I haven't changed my mind about that. Now, you can believe what you want about that, but I'm telling you what I believe. It's my turn for a few minutes to be up here. And I believe that. I believe that's what they took in when Jesus instituted the supper. You've got to go back to Exodus to find out what they used in Matthew. And what they used in Exodus was the same thing they used in Matthew, and I believe that was wine. So, my friend, I haven't changed my mind about this, you see. Now, things that you and I are living in today, in this generation of this life that we live, are changing at a rapid pace. But Brother Jones, I can't see that far. I believe you're here. But you're right. As for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Change about these things, you see. I want to look with you then, basically, with some things I haven't changed my mind about this afternoon for a few minutes. 30 years ago, when my pastor led me to Jesus Christ, I was made to realize that I was a lost sinner and I needed a Savior, and I couldn't help myself at all. I had to just cast my all upon Him. And when I did that, I was saved by the grace of God. I know that because I experienced it. And every time that I doubted that, God took me back to that time and that place, that little office room in Grace Baptist Church when I was down on my knees and trusted Christ as my Savior. And one of the first things I learned, and you can't find it written in the pages of this book, but you'll find the truth of it behind it, is this. You may not remember this, but something you used to say a lot of 30 years ago was, if it's Bible, it's Baptist. And if it's Baptist, it's Bible. And brethren, it ought to still be that way. Don't change your mind about it. And so, as we think about, I haven't changed my mind about the Word of God, and this is probably going to be about all I can get to say about it, but let's not legislate God's Word. You know what I mean by that? We're living in a day and in a generation. Turn back over to 2 Timothy with me, if you will, chapter 3, please. We're living in a day when Baptist preachers are saying, this doesn't mean that anymore. Or you don't have to believe this anymore because we're not under law, we're under grace. But I'll tell you something, friend. If you and I can get up here and stand and preach and teach Star House tithing from the Old Testament, it's still an abomination unto the Lord for women to wear that which pertaineth to a man and men to wear that which pertaineth to a woman. You may not like this. One of the men came to me while we were outside after having dinner today, and I just happened to agree. He said something to me about men wearing jewelry. And we're living in a day when young people are impressionable. Now, I don't know, I know you all do, because I believe that when God calls a man to pastor and preach, or preach and then pastor a church, He gives that man a special love for those people. And I'm not ashamed to tell our church I love them. Just like I tell my wife I love her, I love the church that God's made me a pastor of. And if I love them, I love the young people. And young people are impressionable. And there's something wrong today when an athlete gets up and he throws a ball maybe 90 miles an hour to a batter, and after he does it, he's got to rearrange his necklace so he can pitch again on the next pitch. There's something wrong. I don't believe God would have, in fact, the Bible said that men ought not to, or should not be effeminate. We ought to be men. If we're men, be men, and women, be women, and bring honor and glory to the God of this Bible, you see. So the Bible said, and we look into the Word of God, it's our Baptist rule of faith and practice. Baptists have always stood for and contended for the things that the Word of God has told us to stand for and to believe. So we look here, and the Bible tells us, and what a blessing it is, young person, that if the Word of God has said this about you, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when God tells us a precious truth or lays out a doctrinal premise, beloved, He goes on from there, and with that truth or premise or a joyful thing that we learn in our hearts, He gives us a responsibility. You ever learn or think over there, we praise, and the brother taught it so well this morning, Brother Kissel, I believe it was, said so much, and it blessed my heart. Not only did He save us by His grace, but that grace taught us to serve Him. Over there in chapter 2 and verse 10 in Ephesians, He said, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you preachers are too hard. No, we just want what's best for God's people. If we love them. Otherwise, a preacher doesn't tell people what God wants. He's a hireling. He's just preaching for money if he doesn't love his people. So he goes further then. He writes to young Timothy. I happen to believe Timothy was a Baptist preacher. He said, all Scripture is given in 2 Timothy 3:16 is given by inspiration of God. This is a God-breathed book. This was not written by Walt Whitman, for example. This wasn't written by some human author. It pleased God to use human instrumentality as the Spirit of God moved upon this man, these men to record the words that are written in this book. So this book then is profitable for what? For doctrine. Why do you believe what you believe? Say, because it's found right over here in the Word of God. This book said also, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Why do we believe in a Baptist bride? I believe when a given person an answer, when he asked me that, I ought to go to the pages of God's book. Why do you believe what you believe then about these truths? Look into God's book. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. I used to look at this next word and say it meant thoroughly. And what he said. He said, truly. I'm not a scholar, but I believe when he meant truly, I believe the Word of God is just supposed to saturate us, beloved. I mean, be a part of our very being. You can tell somebody where they're at on a spiritual plane or level when they enjoy talking about the things of God. You can tell when people, your church members are revived and stirred up. They want to talk about this. They want to talk, oh, we'll talk about the garden. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about the ball game last night. When it comes right down to things that bless their heart, they want to talk about the things of God. Get our priorities straight. Concentrate on the things of God. This is what people need. It isn't who won last night or who's playing tonight that's going to help when sorrow comes. It's the pages of God's Word that do things for people, that thrill their hearts and thrill their souls and comfort them in the hour of sorrow and the time of need. So he said that we might be truly furnished. What that means, means to equip fully. That's what he wants us to be, equipped fully. You see. Now notice again. Over here in the very next chapter. One time here a while back, I listened to the tape the night my charge was preached to me and the night I was ordained. And this is pretty much it right here. And you know what? The book still hasn't changed. Forever, O Lord, what? Thy word is settled in heaven. Hasn't changed. You know what's so wonderful about this? And I had this in the back of my mind, and it was staying with me all as I sat through this conference. What we've really had is a refresher course here these last few days. You know, I needed this thing, like Brother Clark said this morning, on sorrow. I needed that. We're fighting. Not among ourselves, but we are to fight. The Word tells us this, and I don't know if I'll get that far in the outline or not, but he said, fight the good fight of faith, did he not? Lay hold on eternal life. He said, be, what did he say? Steadfast, unmovable. Hold on to what you believe. And then earnestly contend for the faith. That means holding on to something. We've been having a refresher course. We needed some comforting. We needed to know when we came here, beloved, that we're not the only ones standing for these truths that we've stood for. We're not the only ones believing what we believe about the dear old Word of God. So he said, I charge thee, therefore, he said, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He's going to judge the living and the dead, you see. He said, preach the word. But every now and then you can show movies on Sunday night. You'll be tired, you know, and just put a little screen up there in the auditorium, put a film up there, and it'll take it easy on yourself. Don't lose your voice. No, he didn't say that. Bunch of Baptist preachers going around the country today, and they got nerve enough to put a sign out in front of their building and saying they're going to have a film tonight, and then send out invitations on so-called young people's night or something else, and said this film gets results. You got to be there to see it. Faith cometh what? By hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. Hasn't changed. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. From the day will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But thank God that you do. A lot of folks with itching ears today. But thank God that you're... You know what he say over there? Someone read earlier today, rooted, grounded, settled. Don't be moved from the truth. Get settled in it. Hold on to it. Hadn't changed. One more place in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. This isn't new. This has been preached for years, but that's what makes it good. What did Solomon say? There's nothing new under the sun. I don't want to hear some new theology. I want to hear the old ways. They're the best ways. They don't change. I'm glad that one day someone told me, and the Word of God supported it and substantiated it, that I was a sinner and I needed the Savior, and that Jesus Christ was the only one that could redeem me from my sins. Now notice what he said. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is a God-breathed book, if you will. And the Spirit of God that quickened you and convicted you and drew you to the Lord Jesus Christ inspired men of God to write the words that are recorded on the pages of this book. Should you and I change about what we feel about it? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Not only is it divinely inspired, but I believe that the Word of God's inerrant. I believe it's free from error. You can say what you want and try to add to it or take from it, but I don't believe God's Word has any error in it. You see, many say they believe this. They believe what it says, but yet they won't stand for what it says. Many say, well, I've been taught its truths and I believe them, but then they turn right around and stand for something that's not true. I'm not trying to be hard, friend, but I believe today, and it grieves my heart. We live with a bunch of chameleon Baptists today. You know what chameleons do? They change colors depending upon the group that they're with. We ought to be what we are all the time. You see, some say they believe it. I say, I don't want to teach that to my people. They won't believe it. I believe that we're supposed to use wisdom when we teach it. You can't get everybody to believe everything all at one time anyway. You didn't learn it all at one time. But if you love them, hear a little, there a little, preach it to them, teach it to them. We just had a boy saved the other day, and we baptized him, and he needs someone to just be interested enough in him. He's bringing his son. He's got another teenage son or something that's lost. And he needs to be encouraged in the things of God. I can't, nor can you or anybody, we can't pack all this down into him like ice cream in an ice cream cone, you know, at one time. But we can encourage him. I know you weren't against education, but I asked you one time about education. You know what I was told? And I saw the wisdom in it and the truth in it. I said, if you'll come, he told me, Bill, if you'll come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you'll get all the truth you can handle because you get a little at a time. And you know what? Where did the Lord put his truth anyway? In the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And the book does say, buy the truth and sell it not. We need to go to learn how to make gestures in front of a mirror, but we learned the Word of God because that's what we're to present. And so let God do His work. He'll tell us what He wants us to learn. And we learn that when we learn it. Don't let go of it, if you please. So it's inerrant. I'll tell you something else. It's infallible. And I thought, man, when I study this, I want to see what Webster's got to say about that word infallible. He says it means this. It's incapable of error, not liable to mislead, deceive, or disappoint, incapable of error in defining doctrines touching faith or morals. You know what? He was right. God's word does not mislead anybody. But when you get a slick trying to mishandle God's word, then it can mislead people. And this is what we ought to do. And I learned this a long time ago, and it's still true today. When somebody gets up and preaches, follow them in God's word. See if it isn't so. If he's preaching the truth of God's word, he's not going to be ashamed or embarrassed. In fact, it encourages a preacher when somebody gets up to preach and turns with them in the Word of God and follows along with them. You see, and oftentimes I'll tell our people, underline that in your Bible. That's important. Of course, all the Word of God is important. But we ought to mark our Bibles and look to them and refer to them and rely on the Word of God, because it's not going to fail you, because behind it all is the God who doesn't fail us. And so, my friend, in addition to that, it's a book of wonders. You ever think of wonders in the Bible? I get to thinking over there, you know, when Moses is leading the children of Israel out of bondage. Pharaoh's army pursuing behind them. Here they are, the army behind them, and there's the Red Sea in front of them. What did Moses do? He panicked. He says, what are we going to do? We got to get out of here. We're in trouble. He said, no. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the parting of the waters there of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked through on dry land. It's a book of wonders and miracles. And you believe that, don't you? It literally happened. Now here comes Pharaoh and his armies. They went through also. No, they didn't. The waters returned and covered them. And they were annihilated, friend. It's a book of wonders. People say, I can't believe that. Well, I can. You believe this book of wonders went in the pages of God's book, and wasn't it wonderful when, not too many years ago, or it was now, but the astronauts got up there and had the courage, to one of them, to read and say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody comes along and said, no, it evolved and it exploded, and that's how we came to be, you see. And all of this started from an explosion in space, and an amoeba came out and grew and walked on the ground and grew up, and pretty soon a man came along. No, that's not what it was. It's a book of wonders because, beloved, the Word of God said that God took up the dust of the earth and made man in his image and breathed into his nostrils, and God became a living soul. Say, that's far-fetched. No, it's not. It's the truth. It literally happened. It's a book of wonders. And I marvel, my friend, at its timeliness, because this book's never out of date. Every new wrinkle or gimmick that Satan comes up with, God's already got it covered in his word. You ever seen a book like this book? You see, no, sir, there isn't. And I'll tell you something else. Look with me in John 4. It's a book of worship. It's a book of worship. Tells you what to believe, tells me what to believe, tells us what to believe and what to practice, how to practice it. Why do we? Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So I don't want to do that just yet. But now notice, just John 4, 23 and 24. It said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true, notice that word true, true worshipers shall worship the Father. How? True worshipers are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must. That word must means a lot. It's almost like that's an emphatic word that needs to be underlined. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. Now here comes finite man. Well, we've got to add this thing and do that thing. We've got to have programs. We've got to have Awareness. We've got to have junior church. And we've got to have the biggest banana split in the world. And we've got to reach young people. So we've got to have puppets and all kinds of things. Why not just do what God did all through the ages and just raise up witnesses? God raised them up and they're supposed to preach and teach the Word of God. Why not just do it that way? See, God hasn't changed. He said, I'm the Lord and I change not. His Son said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. So if that hasn't changed and the way of salvation hasn't changed, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I like what one of the men said during the conference, that as a child he had heard that Jesus died to redeem sinners. And we're sinners and we needed a Savior. And someone told us that Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, and lived some 33 years upon this earth, and one day went to Calvary, and there he shed his precious blood, and we're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and on it goes, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb slain. Still the same old story. It hasn't changed. They took him from the cross, and they laid him in a borrowed tomb, and he laid there 3 days and 3 nights, but the grave couldn't hold him. He arose again. He lives today and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for his people today. He's a mediator between God and man, and there's just one, and his name is Christ Jesus. That's the old story. It hasn't changed, and he's coming back for us one day. I thrill every time I hear it. It blesses our hearts and it thrills our souls to know that God loved us enough, commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, as we look into the Word of God, we learn these things. These things were told to us. These things were preached to us. These things were witnessed to us. And the Spirit of God accompanied His Word and quickened us and convicted us. And we trusted Christ as our Savior. And you know what? We weren't saved until we repented of our sins and by faith received Him as our personal Savior. So you don't believe in eternal justification? No, sir, I don't. Philippian jailer wasn't saved till he repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go on and on with that truth. I'll tell you what. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost weren't saved until they repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, well, I've got to say this now. I've been wanting to hold off for a minute, but time's about gone. When you're saved, and I learned this in the book. When you're saved, you don't become a member of the church of God. I haven't changed my mind about it. You know what it is? You become a member of the family of God.
Amen. Amen.
When do you become a member of the church of God? Well, we get into another thing. That's authority. Church authority. See, preachers, we pastors don't have the authority to baptize until the church says, here, baptize them. What's the pleasure of the church? Upon the profession of their faith. The church has, one of the members of the church, men only voting at this time as far as a motion and a second. Then everybody votes. I had to get that one right before I botched it up. Because everybody in the church body has a right to vote, ladies and men, boys and girls that are saved and members of that local body. That's Bible. I haven't changed my mind about that. Motion from a man, second from a man, and all in favor by so moving. They give us the authority to baptize them. That's where authority is, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to a place, beloved, where we've taken away the authority from the churches of Christ. Not we, perhaps, but thank God that we haven't. Because the only real basis you and I have for fellowship is the truth. Knowing, having like precious faith, and having the same conviction for truth. Now think about this. Someone got saved down here years ago and was called a pastor up in Michigan. And in the providence of God, our paths crossed. He led me to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God caused the truth that he taught and preached to be taught to and put into my heart and my life. And just like I see Brother Hamill, the same truth got into his heart. And here he is preaching down here and pastoring in Kentucky. And I get the blessing and privilege of coming down here to be with you all and preaching in this conference. But the same truth is the same no matter where it is, north or south, east or west. And that's our basis for fellowship. And it's based, if it's the truth, it's based on the Word of God. I'll tell you what. And frankly, you know, we pastors, when you feel like you're by yourself out there in the plank, brother, you feel like you're the only one sometimes. But you know better. But when you come down to this fellowship and get into this conference, it's strengthening. It's helpful. Because you're not by yourself. somebody else and many others believe the same truth and are exhorting you and encouraging you, and it's a joy to fellowship with people that believe the truth of God's Word. All right. Jeremiah said a long time ago about this book that we need to hear it. He said, "Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." God's people need to listen to what God has to say. We need to hear it. And not just be hearers only, but James said, be doers of the word. So we need to hear it. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He desired to be a doer of the word, didn't he? And so we need to recognize that. But then someone said this, and I jotted it down. I want to share it with you. Speaking of the Bible, he said it's a map for direction, and isn't it? It's a manual for discretion and a mirror for discipline. Someone else said this about the Word of God. He said, "Read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, practice it to be holy, and obey it to be blessed." I couldn't have said it any better. Now, time is about gone. Let me just give me 2 minutes to just say a few things about it, what I haven't changed my mind about. And I've got a Bible for it. So the Word of God supports the truth. It always does. And this is not new. I haven't changed my mind about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached a little bit about it. But the Church of Christ is still local and it's visible. And it's not singular, it's plural. There are many true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go into the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the Spirit of God inspired the Apostle Paul, beloved, to write unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth, a local church, a visible church of baptized believers who've been covenanted together to carry out the commission that Jesus gave to his churches. You read again into the book of Galatians in the first chapter, and he's writing over there, again inspired by the Spirit of God, to write unto the churches of Galatia. And the basic theme in that book is the subject of salvation, dealing with the Judaizers who were seeking to mix law and grace, that you had to be circumcised or you had to do something along with making a profession of faith in order to truly be saved. And we've got Judaizers in 1987. They said you have to be baptized. And they teach a heretical teaching of baptismal regeneration. But the Word of God doesn't teach that. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I haven't changed about that. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Change your mind about that. The Judaizers come along and say, have you heard this, and have you experienced that? And the swaggerts and everybody else in this world come along and say, you don't have anything until you've been able to speak in another tongue. And that jibber-jabber is not of God. Yet people are, you know, and then they get up and they say, well, the Baptists and the Methodists and this one and that one and the holiness and all of the assemblies of God, they all get them all together, you see. But Baptists ought to have no part of that mess. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. My conviction. I said a little bit about the Lord's Supper. I don't believe you can take the Lord's Supper scripturally until you've first been scripturally baptized into the membership of a local New Testament church. But then that doesn't give us any right to take of the Lord's Supper in another church, only in the church in which we're members. See, that's basic. That's just fundamental stuff. No, it's not. A lot of Baptists that think you can go any place you want to. And a lot of churches that call themselves Baptists, that'll serve it to anybody that comes along. Now, Brother Asbury, true Baptists have always believed in closed communion. It's not our table to open it up. It's the Lord's table. I haven't changed my mind about it. He tells us who comes to His table. You all come to Michigan, you come to our table. You're invited. I can invite you to my table. But when it comes to the Lord's table, it's His table. Let's not change on that. Some have done so, you see. Well, somebody said something about modest apparel. I had that down here. Why? Because there's a couple of young ladies in our church that mothers and dads are letting them get these hip lines up a little too high. Going along with it, you know. But here's the thing. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Worldliness has been creeping, creeping, creeping. And if we don't preach it, if we don't stand for it, it gets a hold. And it's not good. Not if we love our families. I'm back to where I started. I love my family. I love the one the Lord's given me to be the head of the household where I live. I love my church family also. And I believe we're to tell them that. And I believe we're to preach to them from the Word of God. And encourage them, comfort them when they're down, when they're hurting, their hearts are broken, sin or sorrow comes along. Pray with them, be there with them, to read to them from God's Word. Seek to be what God would have us to be, and that's a pastor. Then again, too, be there to exhort them, correct them when they need correcting. You see, that's part of it all, isn't it? That's our responsibility, you see. I haven't changed my mind about it. Haven't changed my mind, my friend, about the bride of Christ. I believe in a Baptist bride. I learned that years ago. I know some that call themselves Baptists that don't believe that anymore, but I do. I haven't changed that. I haven't changed my mind about it. I believe in a Baptist bride. I believe, too, I'll tell you something else I haven't changed my mind about. I believe the holy city, New Jerusalem, is the dwelling place of the bride. I believe the others will come in and go out of the city, but the bride's going to dwell there. That's her dwelling place, and she's going to be with Jesus Christ. And shall not be separated from him who died to redeem them from their sins, if you please. Now, Baptists have that. We're not the only ones that are saved, but true Baptists and faithful Baptists are the only ones that are in the bride. I believe that. Haven't changed my mind about it. Now, two more quick things. I wish I had more time. Your preachers are full of wind, right? No, I believe in this. I believe that... I haven't changed my mind about it. I believe where God places a people there that follow their pastor, because the pastor must give an account, and that he might do it with joy and not with grief. Amen. Follow your pastor. If you're a church member here today, follow your pastor. Pray for him. Encourage him. Help him. He's got burdens. He's got concerns. He's got, and no matter what pastor you are, what church you're from, what state you're from, if you are pastoring a church, you've got burdens on your heart almost constantly. Somebody you're praying for, someone's hurting, someone's in sorrow, someone's in sin, because you love them and you care. That's why. Tithing. I hadn't heard anybody say anything about tithing this week so far. It's my turn. It's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. That's a Bible truth from both old and new. The Bible said in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, if a man won't bring his tithe to the storehouse, he's a God robber. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every man lay by in store as God hath prospered him. That's storehouse tithing, my friend. One-tenth is the Lord's before anybody else gets their hands on it. That's the way it is. And then church attendance. Be faithful. Bring your children. Don't send them, bring them. Be there all the time. Be amazing. You know, thing I'll share with you, and I want you to read with me one verse in Galatians chapter 6. I'll leave you with this verse. It's been a blessing to me, and I've read it before, and read it again. Till the next time that we get to see each other. You know, we used to go down here to conferences down south, and on the way back, we'd stop over near Russellville and visit my wife's aunt for a few minutes and have prayer with her. And one thing old Aunt Cora used to say, said to us, if I don't see any more down here, I'll see you up there. And I like that. I never forgot that. Several years ago now, she went home to be with the Lord. So if I could leave one thing, if it'd be a help to all of us, it's this, found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thank you.
You know, the only people that needs to change are those that are wrong.